All right. Welcome to our second weekly edition of what we're calling the I, Kylo podcast. We were trying to get a podcast set up and then all of a sudden we had a lot of questions for the AMA last week, and I discovered an amazing thing, which is that I really enjoy talking about it to people that are interested. I enjoy talking about our experiences because it's been so long that we've lived with this without anyone who is really interested in learning about the phenomenon or how we experience fandom and things like that. So I decided that maybe picking it up from there was a good idea. We'll take AMA questions every week. You can send them to me on Twitter at SvengaliPhantom, or you can send them to ikylocast@gmail.com. Yes, we have our own email address. I actually needed a new one for SoundCloud, so there you have it. I tried to record the answers to our questions. This is sort of like the Raylo edition of iKyloCast. And I have a recording that I'm going to edit into this one that sort of explains how we feel about that versus what will happen in the canon in the future, whether Raylo becomes a thing or does not become a thing in canon, how that doesn't really affect where our lives have gone or will go from this point. So I'm going to try to edit that in. I'm doing this on my phone, so wish me luck with that later on. But my point is that I had tried to answer some of these questions last night when I was really, really tired. And my internet went down for a little while, so I couldn't post it anyway. But the answers to the first two questions are sort of rambling, but I wanted to preserve them because Kylo sort of swam up to the front and started answering the question. And he talked himself through the answer to one of them out loud, and I was lucky enough to be recording. And it's a little sappy and a little, you know, melodramatic, but it's a lot illuminating. It was very illuminating for me. And that's, again, he breaks all the rules. I learn things every time about him and how he feels, and he's evolving every week, every day. He's evolving into something that he wasn't before. He's learning the difference between what he was and what he is and where he's standing. If you're listening to this and you have no idea what I'm talking about, meta-multiverse.blogspot.com, it explains. I really hate the word fictive. I hate the word fiction. People hear kin and they immediately shut down. They're like, oh God, these are crazy people. These are those crazy people that think they're fictional characters. Well, unfortunately, yeah, that's kind of true. The difference is that A, we don't give a shit anymore about whether or not people know, because we don't have anything. There's so much to gain in terms of sharing information with people, of leaving behind a record of these amazing experiences that we have that are so much different than you would ever imagine, that have led us places that we would have never imagined. You know, to document these people's struggle and their pain and the truth of their actual lives and what it's like living like that in this world, where someone hears that and they immediately dismiss your emotional existence. But my blog explains it. I also have a piece on AO3 that I keep meaning to extend that explains it. My dog is angry because I'm sitting in my car, and he wants to be in here with me. So anyway, I answer the questions and they're sort of rambling, but I'm going to try to add that on here because it is something that I really feel has value. I believe that the way that he sort of fumbled himself to an answer that really did not come out the way I intended. You understand what I'm saying? The way he sort of found his way to the truth of that is really illuminating about his train of thought lately. So I'm going to try to edit that in. And I have a couple of other Raylo-centric questions that I'm going to try to answer. Hopefully she's going to join me, because I kept telling her she needed to and we had some really interesting fandom conversations last night, too, and ended up not recording them, or not recording them in a way that I can really comfortably edit the valuable pieces out of the stuff that no one wants to listen to, like them ragging on each other. And I'm sure a lot of the Raylos would really enjoy listening to them ragging on each other, but it sort of, it went to a really sort of childish place for a little while. So it's not something I would put on a podcast for people to listen to. Pardon me. So, you know, that's maybe in the future I'll go through and edit some of it into a supplementary recording. See, if I had like a Patreon account or something like that, or one of those Buy Me a Coffee accounts, yeah. You know, if we had one of those for the podcast, I would put the Ray and Kylo goofing, you know, outtakes on a dollar, you know, tier there. Like, that's what everybody else does, you know, supplemental content. But I'm not really interested in making money, you know, with any of it. You know what I mean? That takes away the point of doing it. Although it would be really nice to be able to get a good microphone.
I was going to say, you know, can you buy a good microphone?
It would be really nice to do what people like The Force Awakens, who I love that. If you've not seen that YouTube channel, I endorse it wholeheartedly. It is the funniest, one of the funniest Star Wars parody sites there is that I've ever seen. And there, it's just two people who do it, and it's amazing. And it's just, I have laughed so high and cringed at the same time, all the way through it. It is just supremely fantastic. And, you know, they have a Patreon account, and they use the support to buy new equipment and to make it easier for them to do, because they do animations, you know, for their videos, and they don't have a lot of complicated equipment, so they're doing it, you know, with what they have. And being able to have a place where we can sit and record the podcast on a regular microphone and be able to edit it, you know, more completely and do what we want to do eventually would be really nice. I would really like to make videos. I've had it suggested to me multiple times that we make videos of our lives. There's a lot of really interesting stuff that got recorded with us sort of going in and out of different people fronting, and it's interesting because it usually doesn't happen quite that seamlessly. So that's pretty illustrative, too.
Well, it does if we're not talking to other people and we're just talking amongst ourselves.
Well, yeah,
That's how we are all the time, but I always, like, forget, like, when you're recording or whatever that, you know, people might think it's weird to just suddenly have all sorts of different people start talking, and it's just kind of like...
Well, again, that's,
I forgot,
you know,
it was like, oops.
You know, it's one of those things. And, you know, I also have... We talked about my original... plan for the podcast was to talk about fandom things, both externally and as they relate to our own lives. And last night we got into this whole discussion about, you know, Mon Mothma, because I was reading the Rogue One novel, which I hadn't had a chance to read before. And I'll copy and paste that section because it's I talk about, you know, the fact that I would happily pay money to watch Mon Mothma, a Star Wars story, you know, and
it's just Mothma.
Mothma.
I'm serious.
I am going to say that at the wrong time one of these days.
Wow.
Okay, so it's been 9 minutes I've been rambling, and
I thought you had gotten on, like, onto the questions, which is why
Nope, all right, I'm getting there, all right.
And now Cooper's barking his head off.
The first two questions were answered in the next, in that sort of rambling section that I talked about. So what I'm going to do is... I'm going to answer some of the older ones that I have, and then I'm going to edit that part into the end. So listen to me carefully right now, is that if you want to hear Kylo rambling about how, whether or not he believes, it was a whole thing about, the question was, is it hard for Kylo to accept that Rey accepts him for who he is? And he went through this entire mental... exploration of how I think deep down he really doesn't believe that she does. Nothing that she's doing is giving that impression. I think I went back and listened to it, and it says at one point, you know, that's an awful thing to say about your relationship, but, and goes on to this whole long thing, you know, and that's really important. I think that's really, 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 really demonstrative of where he's at. right now, but because I'm trying to keep this at a certain pace,
yeah,
that may be too drawly and drawn out to start out with.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, it's not really boring to listen to. Okay, it's not like there are 30-second pauses in between every word, but it's still a little bit slower. So I'll go back and edit that in a little bit once I've gotten through, and my Facebook memories this morning was that thing about how, sometimes the fear won't go away, so you have to do it afraid. That particular, it's like the Carrie Fisher quote, I see, you know, be afraid, but do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that got me up and out of bed, just incidentally, unrelated, years ago when I was first diagnosed with IH and I was in bed 20 hours a day and you know, scared of having seizures and scared of there being an accident and scared of dying, and I'm still scared of dying all the time because I'm not well, but I do things anyway now. Instead of hiding from my life because I'm afraid something could happen, I kind of say, well, if something happens, at least I'm doing X, Y, and Z thing while it's happening. You know, if I'm doing something and I feel weird and I'm doing something I enjoy, I say to, you know, my better half over here, if I have a seizure, you know, make sure you call an ambulance and then do whatever it is anyway. You know, and that's been a huge improvement for me, and I'm kind of proud of the fact that I've been able to do that. So it's kind of like sitting in the car. We're both ill. I'm really dizzy. I haven't eaten or, you know, I've got like 3 or 4 other medications I'm supposed to be taking for, you know, my particular round of illness. And, you know, I'm still sitting out here doing this because it's important, you know. Hi, Kylo. All right, here are some more questions. I'm going to do these out of order. Did you have dreams about Ray before you met her?
Didn't somebody ask that in the last one?
No, actually, they didn't. But these are really personal. Like, these... And I've had people say to me, since the last one, I'm amazed you could answer that because it's really personal. And here's my take on that, is that it is. And I could refuse to answer it and say, that's something I don't want to share with the world at large. But I have a couple of thoughts on this. One of them is that there's so much fanfic and speculation and fan art and all of these things already, okay? People are already assuming they know, you know, or they have headcanons, or things are going to come out, or other PC things are going to come out eventually, and, you know, my memories are my own, and people can either believe that they're legitimate or believe that they're not. And for the people who believe that they are, it's nice to have someone who actually cares about these things, who wants to ask them legitimately. You know what I mean? They're not tongue-in-cheek. It's not half-assed. It's not, all right, well, I believe that you believe it, so you can tell me about it, and I won't roll my eyes too much. These are people who legitimately are asking because they think that my point of view is legitimate. And that is something that I feel really deserves honest answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not...
See, I've always had a problem with the headcanon people.
Well, yeah, it's not what I mean. It's just that people are free to... It's like if you're writing a fic and you're writing about it, that's your interpretation of a fiction that you're looking at. That's why when I ask people, can you just respect that I exist? Once you know me and you talk to me, know that I'm there. You know, that's all. Know that what you say or whatever affects me because it's my real life. It's kind of like if you saw a movie and then you met somebody who was in the whose character was, you know, you didn't know it was based on a true story, and then you met the person involved. You know, it's okay that you wrote fanfic about that person for 20 years. Just be aware that they exist outside of that, outside of your perception. That's another thing that's on one of these other recordings, is the discussion, the difference between, you know, canon memories and a whole life, you know,
yeah.
and things like that. Yes, short answer.
Yeah. You're going to lose them in there on purpose, and you're going to be like, you're going to get your answers, but...
All right, shut up. All right. No.
You can't be both yes and no.
The no was to you. Like, no, stop talking. You're killing me.
Come on, I'm podcast with me.
All right, all right, all right.
Shut up.
I thought you should be involved in the Raylo question. Yes, but not specifically. It wasn't like, here is this girl that is going to change everything. Okay, it was more a sense of something. I think that the question you're trying to ask is, did I recognize her? Wow. When did we get into first person here? I try to stay away from answering questions that way because it's awkward. And since I'm not aware of what I'm saying.
Kylo tends to ramble.
Yeah. Caught you. That was interesting.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm very tired.
Oh my god.
He All right, I'll be here. Anyway, yes, also, but it is a short answer to that. But nothing really fell into place until later. Just sort of, we were talking about this after we stopped recording, last night. We were talking about the idea of fate, and she was actually talking, I wish I could get her to come back and say that, because she was talking about, becoming part of the mythos, and what it's like to be someone who hears the legends, you know, the legends of Luke Skywalker, the legend of Han Solo, and then to be caught up in that mythos yourself, and to be pulled into the orbit of those mythic, you know, when in your own world, you know, it would sort of be, but there aren't any major things like that in this reality, which is different. You know, there isn't a major, obviously there's a major conflict, but there are no dramatic, you know, leaders the way Mon Mothma is a leader, you know, or things like that, because obviously the arrangement is entirely different. So it's different, it's hard to compare it to something here, but really it's interesting because the people in Rey's orbit, before she met everyone, to her it was very, that's why it's very meta a lot of times, because to her, these people were legends. Just like they're legends to the people who watch the PC, only they categorize it as a fictional story. And a lot of people, from what I've been able to glean from the canon and from things people have said, a lot of people in that universe thought it was all fictional as well. So I could, if I really felt like it, make a case to a very meta reality sort of case for the fact that these things happened, you know, in a different place. These people are here now through a phenomenon that I have been trying to fully understand for a quarter century at this point. And the stories that you think are just myths are these people's memories, which is an interesting way to look at it. So There's definitely that. Do you find it odd that there are those of us who are angry with you but forgive you because we know who you really are? Again, this comes back to the question that I answered last night with the rambling. It's not even that rambling, to be honest. I really am excited about it. It really is very honest. Gesundheit! I don't think she heard me. Yeah, she's in the house with the door closed, so I'm amazed I heard that. We have paper-thin walls, let me tell you. I can turn on the radio and then come outside with the dog, and I can hear my radio from the driveway. Which is interesting sometimes when people are arguing and they're yelling about the Empire and the First Order and things like that, and I have to wonder, you know. But no one's ever said anything, you know, so we generally try to be careful with stuff like that, but these people are very passionate and often very loud, so it's interesting. It's the same answer to a degree as Rey being able to forgive it. Yes, we do find it odd. We find it because there are so many people out there. There are a lot of articles about, you know, Kylo doesn't deserve redemption because he's a patricide, he's a murderer, he's a this, he's a that. He is complicit in the deeds of the First Order. And really, the problem is I can't have a moral standpoint on it. I can't, anyway. And because he's in it, he's done it, he's here, he can't change what he's done. What he can do is, if he's willing and wants to, is make up for those things, or try to learn and to become a better person that's worthy of all of the people that are saying he's worth redeeming and worth, you know, forgiving, I guess, you know?
My personal
problem. Oh, here she is. She came back.
And I know it gets colored by other people's issues.
Here she comes. Okay. All right.
Is... They're like, let's remove ourselves emotionally if we can and just talk about canon here. Everybody hates Kylo Ren, the people who they do and say that he's, you know, unsalvageable because he killed Han Solo.
Yeah, that's a big part
of
it, yeah.
Okay, there's probably pretty much anybody, they wouldn't care about the deaths of a whole bunch of characters who don't even have names in the billing. Okay, they're pissed about Han Solo.
Yeah, there is that.
We've got Darth Vader, who everybody celebrates the redemption of.
Not everybody. There are people who
a huge thing out of in the original franchise. Well, the whole redemption thing there is made into a big thing. And everybody's like, oh, Luke brings his father back to the light side. So what? He killed like 23 fucking
this
kids.
Strangled his pregnant wife. Stop. People have said that on the internet.
Okay.
I'm already, so you're not alone. I'm not hushing you because I don't want to hear what you have to say, or I don't think the people listening want to hear it. I'm hushing you because I know you're biased.
Okay.
Okay. And if you start going about Darth Vader, you will never stop. And it will turn into something that I'll have to go back and edit out because you won't want it posted. So, you know, save me the work and just don't do it. Okay.
Okay. The sad part about that, like the huge dividing line, is everybody's like, Anakin Skywalker is this huge big hero. Yeah, that's great. There's a dividing line around 23 there somewhere where it's, you know...
Well, the thing about it is that redemption means something different to a Force user than it does to... And this is what it's like the people saying, and I get kind of squicked by people who say, oh, it's a movie about space wizards, you're trying to apply, you know, real-world morality to it. But in a way, a less condescending way, because I live that, and it makes me, you know, kind of squicked to hear that statement, but whatever. To each their own.
Harry Potter's for kids too, but I mean, seriously, are you looking at the shit that's?
I'm not really thrilled with J.K. Rowling right now,
so I don't want to get into it right now. But that doesn't change the fact that you've got a book that was originally written for like fifth graders
about death and genocide and torture. And Harry Potter is harsher than Star Wars ever was.
I think after you pass like the second, after like the next five,
you know,
books,
things written in blood and
are,
you know,
all really dark
torture.
You know, this
and
is not really
imprisonment
something,
and madness.
I mean, original,
you know,
fairy tales are really dark too. Yeah. Okay. But all morality tales are. You can't have...
Well, this brings me to something I really wanted to talk about. And, you know, Chuck Wendig had made a comment, and I haven't tried the Wendigo yet. I keep meaning to. I'm starting to think the pickles and peanut butter are sounding better and better together the longer I consider it.
God.
Anyway, you know, Chuck Wendig, who I love and respect, and he's a fantastic writer, and he's a fantastic Star Wars voice, you know, as far as authors go. But he said, the only thing he ever said that I don't agree with, other than the fact that heirloom apples are better than Red Delicious apples, for which I will fight him, is that Star Wars doesn't need a Game of Thrones sort of darkness to it, because it's meant for an audience that, you know, and we don't need a dark side, a dark version of it. And to me, because I live it, okay, this is something that sets us aside from other people, is that we know there's a dark, and I don't say a dark side because that sounds ridiculous, but we know there's darkness. We know that there's murder and torture and madness and terror and loss and grief and war and I don't want to say the word, but other things that happen to people that, you know, trauma that happens, you know. We know that everything... That we know the stuff behind the cuts, I guess.
No.
You know, the stuff that would never make screen time.
Well, it's not even that,
for the rating.
Allude to enough
of course
of it
they do.
Without showing it, but you would have to up the rating.
Yeah, that's what I'm, that's what I was
all
getting
Star
ready. Yeah.
Is, what is it, all PG?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Revenge of the Sith was PG-13. I've seen it 100 times, and I have owned like 3 copies, and I
I'm
still can't remember.
I'm looking at that going, yeah.
You know, and people say that, and it's like even in A New Hope, you know, that torture droid was not, was not there to play handball. You know, that was not a...
Dr. Ball. No.
Oh, my God, that Robot Chicken episode.
Anyway.
You know, but it's not something that, I mean, obviously anyone who's reading between the lines, you're going to execute someone. You blow up their entire planet, okay? Try thinking about that from a point of view of... billions of people and every landmark you've ever known and every weather system and every you know, street sweeper that has... Anyway.
And anybody who says that this...
And I've heard the story 100 times,
thing,
that's why I,
you know,
I can say that.
A thing for kids, you're looking at this and going, does nobody watching this have any extra... empathy other than, oh, look, a planet just blew up? Did nobody give any of the actuality of that, of passing
why
thought?
Would they? I mean, I'm sure people have, but I mean, it's like that story I read that morning, and
what
I should really not let Kylo read canon stuff in the middle of the night when he's already not slept. Yeah, it was Eclipse. It was from a Certain Point of View collection, and it was Bail and Brea Organa's last moments, and it was hello, hi, you can come in and say hello. Come here. Why are you out there barking? I'm literally right here. I am 4 feet away from you, dog. Why are you barking?
He doesn't understand.
He likes to sit in his car. I know that he does. Anyway, you know, I wish I was going somewhere else in my car, but that's a whole nother story. You know, the reality of it is so brutal and awful and horrible. And yes, you can make a lead into Starkiller from that because... But I didn't start that to talk about that. It was, and I'm not avoiding the question, okay? If you guys have questions about it, you can ask. And I'm going to probably do a supplemental one of these in the middle of the week on, like, Wednesday. And I will try to answer. But, you know, it's not just a light. Even Resistance. I saw that. I watched the preview for Resistance. And, you know, you see the main character... jumping and dodging laser fire, or blaster fire, rather, particle bolts, and kids will watch that and go, wow, that's cool. And as you're older, you realize that if one of those things hits you, you're done, you're dead. Doesn't matter if you're 16, 18, 20, 40, 100, you're dead, that's the end of your life. You will die, and you will die in pain. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down, but I'm just saying it's already dark. It's already, if you're in a situation where someone is shooting at you legitimately to end your life, it's already dark. And people don't give kids enough credit, I think, too, sometimes. I mean, I knew some of this, you know, you watch things and I disagree that the darkness has no place, because the dark places are what make people react the way they do to certain things. And maybe that's just because I have had memories come back, memories of his, and things that he's dealing with, and things that I never would have imagined were a thing. But I think that there's a lot of room for it in there. So, answering that question after 10 minutes of rambling, again, it is weird. It is a little weird. Because we always expect that. It's the same thing that I said, talking about the thing with Rey. You know, like, you know, you keep expecting people to remember something that you did and have that be the cutoff for what they're willing to forgive. You know? And it's when people realize that everything that you've done is sort of, people are willing to forgive you if you're willing to commit to changing what the person you are is a little heady. It's a little overwhelming. It's not something we're used to. Do you find it odd that some of us want to protect you? That's sort of the same question. Now, I don't know why, to be honest. I don't understand whether it's canon. You know, you guys care about a character in canon so much that you're willing to, you know, that you want to see nothing bad happen to them because you think, oh, this person's had X, Y, and Z happen to them. Or whether it's you're talking about the people that know me specifically here and still feel that way. So the answer is a little different no matter what. But the short answer is yes, that's a little weird too. But again, you're not used to, I'm not used to people, that other answer, I keep teasing it, but it really does sort of illustrate the, that. What's Kylo's biggest struggle right now? Snoke, honestly. to be perfectly blunt. It's shaking off that shadow. And I talked about this a little last week, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't matter if you're free or if you're a universe away or if you're a combination of both somehow, it's still there. You know, he will often reach up and touch his ear if he's stressed out, which is something that they don't show in the canon, but it's something that is a mannerism that I personally don't have, and never did. It's just a way of, it's sort of an involuntary, he's noticed it now, obviously, and is trying to not do it so much, but it's his sort of acknowledgement that he's hearing voices, and I'm not talking about legitimately, like, hearing voices like, Luke, you must go to the Dagobah system, you know, and whatever. I mean, even in his mind, you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done whatever, or you should do this thing, or this person has wronged you, you should, you know, annihilate them, or whatever, these things that are always in his voice, but not necessarily physically present. You know, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle to be free of that influence, to Xena outside. Our neighbors have a unfixed pit bull, and my little dog gets very angry about it. Anyway, hold on. The ear touching thing has, even though he's trying really hard not to do it, has actually sort of been helpful because it lets people know that he's struggling at that particular moment. And Rey is she's very perceptive about it. She'll touch him and she'll say, I'm here, it's okay. Or, you know, she'll, you know, instigate eye contact, you know, or whatever, which a lot of times helps not to focus on that voice, that sort of castigating sort of thing. And it's, you know, so the biggest struggle right now is being a person. That sounds ridiculous, but, you know, being an individual, independent person that is making their own decisions, you know, and learning how to respond to things without...
Like the eating thing.
Yeah, he doesn't eat. He you know, drives people to distraction because, you know, he just, I know, I'm not hungry. No, I can't really eat that, you know.
No, it's not. So, somebody will say, me,
yeah,
know?
You want an ice cream sandwich, and they're like 140 calories a piece. There's nothing to them. And he'll refuse out of hand because, even if he hasn't eaten anything, because he's trying to not, you know, he's very conscientious of it. You know, little things like that, but all of it comes back to the same puppet master, really. All the strings, every single one of these things, his eating, his sleeping, his reactions to things, they're all strings that go back to the same thing, and it's cutting them a piece at a time, but it's not that easy. You know, they're not strings that you can just snap. You know, each one of them has to be sort of frayed and then broken carefully so the whole thing doesn't come falling down on top of him, which is, you know, way more profound than I intended, but very true. Anyway, so there's definitely that. That's definitely his major struggle right now. Do you think it's strange how some of us identify with who you are and the torment you face every day? A lot of, again, yes. But no, to an extent, because I was telling this to, or he was telling this to his mother, I think, a while back. she had said, I actually made a note about it in my phone notes because I thought I would write a song about it, honestly. She was like, you know, free of outside influence, you might have been, you know, able to do X, Y, and Z. And he says, but no, I still was having problems. I was still angry and I was still lonely and I was still, well, you know, had you been, you know, let me go look at my notes because I don't want to mess this up.
I think her point had been that was that at least then it wouldn't have been any other problem except for the one.
You'd have grown up
had.
Differently. You'd be able to handle your own issues. And he says, no, it's still not how it is. You know, there was something there all the time. Had Snoke not ever been there from the day one, would things have been different? Maybe. But
her point wasn't that he wasn't an angry person and didn't already have some of that groundwork because of his upbringing and the circumstances that were around their life and the whole thing, because he would have had all of that. But there would have never been any question as to whether or not some of it was being influenced more by something outside.
But he was sort of outraged at the time because he was trying to say, I needed help anyway. I needed help anyway. And that's something that, again, something different from having him than from having anybody else, is that he's sort of come forward and being so honest about being who he is and sharing his journey and the things that he's learned, he's finding that a lot of those things are really universal. You know, the struggle between your own worst self, the struggle between what people expect you to be, what your family expects you to be, what the world expects you to be, the abuser, I hate to say it flat out like that, but the person who's controlling your life and telling you you're no good without me, you're not anything, no one else will ever take you back. You know, so yes, that I understand that it's been amazing to feel it, to realize that it's a universal experience and it's not something that we're alone in experiencing. And that is very humbling. And I think I've said that before, you know, it's a thing that is really amazing to understand. Why were you shirtless when your shirt was right there behind you? Did you want Ray to see the scar? Honestly, but there was really no thought behind that. Okay, that was not. I hate to disappoint the Raylos, but that wasn't a hey.
Look at my body.
Yes, that actually happened. Not quite like that, but we've had a lot of talks about it, and now we've moved into joking about it a year on. But you know, it was not her, and her discomfort was very obvious, okay? Her discomfort was very obvious, and there was a mental notation, but it wasn't like, haha, you know, this is, you know, it was more like, this is happening again, you know, right now, and there she is, and her discomfort was not the priority. It wasn't, you know, sure, yeah, let me go get dressed, you know, while we're talking. It was the immediacy of the conversation. You know, the conversation was the thing that mattered. Now, that being said, we have a habit of pulling our shirt away from our collarbone a lot when we're having a conversation. We're like, yeah, you were saying?
Yeah.
You know, you were saying? Fun fact that may be embarrassing is that a lot of times when he's fronting, strongly, like if it's a weekend and we don't have anything else to deal with and we can leave them alone to deal with their issues all weekend, he'll use the collodion that I bought for the conventions, which is it's a scarring liquid. It's a special effects liquid, and someone recommended it to me via the 501st and like 6 or 7 months ago, and I was astounded at how it works. You paint it on like nail polish, and it really kind of smells like nail polish, I'm telling you. The smell can, like, melt chrome. But you put it on like nail polish onto wherever you want the scar, and it pulls the skin apart and creates a divot. It creates a very, very realistic scar of varying depth based on the amount of layers, because the softer the skin, the better it works.
Yeah.
So it works really well, like, on, until it gets to my collarbone, and then it's not as deep.
Yeah.
Because it reminds, you know, when he looks in the mirror, he sees it. Or when, you know, she looks at him, she sees it. Now, my wife's body, I think we discussed this before, she has glaucoma. She's had 29 eye surgeries, had 3 cornea transplants. So she can't see as well as she would otherwise. So a lot of times, it's not something that she would notice unless we were very close up. But it's there because it's a thing that I can do. And it's not something, it's like him wearing his clothes or buying specific clothes for himself. You know, it's a factor of, this is the memory that I have, and the closer it matches, the more comfortable he is.
Yeah.
And it has become, the scar has become very symbolic. That is definitely true. But at that moment, that was more like...
I think that's where I picked up that mental projection from, was the, you know, the worsening vision there on that one, because, you know, he'll say something, you know, to me like, you know, is this going to matter or whatever? Because unfortunately, for the most part, but I had this one really disorienting thing where we were sort of shifting front, and I'd been sitting on the edge of the bed, and we were talking about something about the tunic and the belt, and I was looking at you going, that's awful low down for that. Yeah. When I was realizing that, you know, there was like a height difference that my brain wasn't factoring.
Yeah, it's one of, because you expect, now it's easier, because now you don't expect, after a year, 2 years, 5 years, you don't expect the body that you remember as much. But it does occasionally surprise, like I'll look in the mirror sometimes, and sometimes, I mean, there is a superficial resemblance, the hair color, the eye color, you know, my eyes are very dark. But sometimes if he's been fronting and he's been very, very strongly there in everything, I'll glance in the mirror on my way through the bathroom and be surprised. Because I don't expect to, you know, it's not Adam Driver I expect to see, by the way, either. That's not how that works, okay? It's that's why you'll notice I rarely share photographs from the Canon. I normally share fan art. Because to me, fan art is closer. It's more of a representation than the actors, because at the end of the day, Adam Driver is not Kylo Ren. He is an actor, and he does a spectacular job, and yes, I agree. I think he does a spectacular job, but in the end, that's not the memory that we have, so it's interesting. Do you believe in the gray code? Fun fact, there isn't one. The gray code is entirely fan-generated. It was never something that really existed. And people will argue with me and say that there are instances in canon of that being mentioned. But originally speaking, it wasn't, especially now that things are different, where they've erased a lot of the you know, the EU stuff, which it bothers me about Sabak, honestly. And I will say Sabak until my dying day. You know, whether it's Sabak or not. Is that now people are playing, and even the new canon had it, you know, where you have to get to zero, and the rules are much simpler, you're allowed to discard, whereas when I learned to play the original, like, version of Sabak, and the Corellian Spike variant, where it's 23, negative 23, you know, an idiot's array, you know, the Fairy Empress, where you had it, you know, because it's funny that they left the idiot's array, which is literally a 0, 2, 3, but took out the fact that it's 23 that you're trying to get to. So I play the old rules. So as far as the gray code, there have been gray Jedi, but there was never... The point was is that they weren't an organization. So having a code kind of defeats the purpose, because that makes you have rules and limits. And the idea behind gray Jedi is that they don't hold themselves to either to a thing. Now, that being said... You know, originally, the code is, you know, there isn't a dark side, there isn't a light side, there's just a balance, you know, passion and peace and serenity and emotion, where you basically have all of the aspects of the Force. Do I believe that? Yes, I think, we were having this conversation last night.
Was that?
I said, I don't think you should be a Jedi.
Oh, and she was, that part.
And she was like, why? Okay, so tell me why I shouldn't be a Jedi now, explain this to me. And what he'd been trying to say is that there are ways, it's sort of like, you know, the Guardians of the World, you know, you can use the Force and use the Force for good even without, you know, ascribing to either side. You know, you don't need to define yourself by what came before. You know, you don't need to fit into that narrow little definition of the Jedi, because by default, and she was saying, well, you know, if you're the last Jedi, if you start, you know, the order again, then it's up to you to change the rules if you want them different. I'm like, you know, yes, I understand that, but you're still calling yourself a Jedi. which means people will have expectations of what you are and what you do from the minute they meet you. So, you know, why not just let that go? Anyway.
Because I think, honestly, I think Kylo just wants the terminology gone. I really think it actually...
I don't think so.
I think by itself, the terminology actually just bothers him.
I don't think that's true. I think there's more to it. Okay, there's that. Are there more? Do you know the story of Revan? If so, were you taught this story? I think I addressed this a little bit last week.
Yeah, I could have sworn to God that story was...
And yes. And it's funny because I actually have a mask here that I built. Back in like May, it's inspired by Revan's first mask. The story, of course, it's a fantastic story, and everybody quotes it. Everybody makes that parallel to me, but it makes me uncomfortable that the Jedi Council thought a mind wipe was the appropriate way to handle that. You know what I mean? That by itself is the thing that I hold up as a, you know, that's not redemption. That's not redemption. That's reprogramming, and it's not the same thing. And I guess I feel a lot more strongly about it than I thought I did. Do I believe in...
Well, I don't agree with that either. I mean, now, there would be... I don't know. Like...
Yeah, it's not... atoning for your sins and realizing you were wrong and doing all of these things. I understand there's a lot more to the story. It's a lot more complicated than that.
Now, wasn't Revan... Okay, because I'm not as familiar with it as you are. Wasn't Revan... He was a Jedi initially who got captured, if I'm not mistaken, and brainwashed, who then became a Sith Lord, who the Jedi eventually captured and mind-wiped.
You've got the story a little out of order. I don't want to rehash the story, but... My hope, just to answer this question, because I'm already at 45 minutes, and I don't want to stretch that long.
Plus, all right. Supplemental.
Plus, if I get into the story, like it'll take me a long time to explain it because I really, it's a story I'm fond of. But yes, I do know it, and yes, of course, that was something that I heard about later. Are there more? There was one that I really liked that I can't find now. Is there such a thing as failure if we're all instruments of the Force? Now, that's an interesting question. Because if you ask any of the Masters, they will definitely tell you that failure is an option. All right. Me, personally, even the word bothers me. the hackles on the back of my neck stand up. The question implies that if everything is meant to be as the Force wills it, then if you try something and fail, you weren't meant to succeed to begin with because it puts you in a place where you were supposed to be.
The eye roll.
I'll tell
real.
You something. I'll tell you. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't even know if I have a belief about that. I personally right now believe, yes, there is. But if I continue to do emotional work, I assume... That may change. That's something that is definitely a big obstacle right now, which you'll hear about in the supplemental recording that I did. But I think that things like... I also believe that it's possible to fail and not be at fault to an extent. You can technically fail... to do something that you tried to do, but not be at fault. And I'm going to be really, really, really controversial right here. And I try to stay away from it. No, you're not thinking what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
Anakin and his mother is what immediately comes to mind. Okay? He had dreams. He didn't go. He had dreams. He didn't go because he couldn't. He legitimately could not follow that and pursue that because he had duties. And that was what he was, you know... And he got there, and he got there late, and she died. Now, would she have died in his arms no matter what? I think that's probably likely, because she was very, 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 very hurt. And I think she was holding on long enough, you know. I think that, when I talk about instruments of the Force, I think that she was holding on for him. But I also believe that according to how he sees it, or you would see it happening, he would say, well, I failed because I didn't get here in time. But failure doesn't necessarily always mean that you fucked up. It just means that, you know, some circumstances happened that kept you from succeeding in what you set out to do. I also believe that there's failure that is a fault, and that, I don't know if that's training or if that's standard belief, but, you know, even Yoda, you know, the greatest teacher failure is. So, obviously, you know, you want to argue with Yoda on it, that's fine with me. I don't, you know, but I think what the question really does failure matter? Does it matter if you tried and failed because that's the way things were supposed to be? And that gets into metaphysical and philosophical discussions that I do not have time to get into. You know, were you meant, you know, you tried to save someone and failed and they died, and because they died, someone else decided to take vengeance, and that person found this other person, and this other person grew up to stop a genocide that would have killed billions and billions of people, and if that original person hadn't died, would that ever have happened?
Well, all you have to do is look at the Alderaan thing.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, about, you know, the way the Force wills it. I mean, how many systems after that, you know, joined the rebellion and wouldn't have done it for anything
smaller? That's a thing, too. That's a good point.
Was something like that abso-fucking-lutely necessary?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
You know, it...
So it gets into discussions that it would be interesting to have. You guys want to send us a message, send us a message on Twitter, or send it to ikylocast@gmail.com, and tell me what you think. Tell me what if you're listening to this, even if you don't ever listen to the rest of the podcast, or you're not really interested in this, and you happen to hear this right now, this is, 51 minutes in? Yeah. So send me a message and tell me what you think about that. I'm really interested to hear what people think. Do you think about her and worry about her? Well, she's here with me, so it's.
And the answer to both is still yes.
Okay, yeah, well, whatever, that's the thing. You know, and more so than, I think it's...
Be careful, take a coat, eat this food, yeah.
Okay, all right, it's, because it feels like a dream, it still feels like something that's going to pop like a bubble if I'm not careful. And it's... I wonder how long it takes to get over that. Like, how long is it?
It's called the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, no, because it's not, yay, I'm happy because this is a new thing. It's more like, oh my God, I'm terrified. You know, am I going to turn my head the wrong way and she's going to see my profile and remember that I'm a monster? You know, it was waiting for that moment. And that's why we can be assholes a lot of times, because we're pushing. It's sort of like, yeah, well, you know, not literally, but you know what I mean. It's
they can't actually see you like shaking your steering wheel.
Yeah, right, whatever. Why did you carry her instead of telling the stormtroopers to take her? You know,
practicality.
Among other things, it was, you know, just one of those things. It was. Practicality is almost right. You know, she was falling on the spot, you know, and there was no reason to let her fall on the ground and then, you know, have them pick her up and take her. I do think there was something. And I don't want to feed the Raylos. Obviously, I want to feed the Raylos because I love the Raylos, but I mean, I don't want to mistakenly feed the Raylos is what I'm trying to say. And say, yeah, of course, you know, but I think there was something because... I'm going to let him do this, so just give me a second. She was not ever an enemy in that sense. I mean, she was, but she wasn't. I think it's too illuminating, actually. I really do. Poe, let's talk about Poe for a minute. Poe was a member of the Resistance. He was a pilot that had blown up, you know, a lot of First Order, you know, property. He was symbolic of everything, the Republic, you know, the leadership behind it, you know. He was an enemy combatant. She was not. She was this strange scavenger girl that defied all expectation. And there was never any of the anger toward her that there was. It was always more like a fascination, like, who is this person that has stumbled into this? You know, and that feeling like there was something, I don't want to say molecular recognition. It sounds wrong, but there aren't, this world sucks. I mean, yeah, there is a terminology to,
there's,
for this.
There's a connection there. Yeah, that
but
works.
But not the way people think of it. It's not like, you know, and so, you know, and it was the first physical touch that was not hostile, both giving or receiving, in quite a while. And it was an interesting comment. Yeah. And then the next one is, did it hurt you to go, you know, or did it pain you to go into her mind? It says in the books that, you know, it's so bizarre to have someone ask me a question and say, it says in the books, you know, that you didn't enjoy it. You know, it says in the books. Like, this is what I was talking about myth versus reality. Like, I think I've waited my whole life for a question like that, you know, but it's not as yay of a thing as, like, you know, it's weird. It's weird to read. Not necessarily in a bad way, but it's just weird. You know, physically, no. No, it was not. You have to understand that flexing certain dark side powers feels good in certain times.
Run away,
kid. Okay, yeah, don't do as I say, not as I do. But seriously, you know, letting go of a power and using it feels good in a way that is not describable or comparable to anything here, you know. So, and hurting people sometimes was a power rush. And it's not that way now, okay? It's definitely not that way now. But I'm trying to be completely transparent here, you know. And that was not. It was different. It was, you know, a power that was still being refined, that was not intended as a... There's a difference between using it as a blunt object and using it as a tool. And Snoke obviously could do both, whatever he wanted. He could, you know, do it with fine control or annihilate someone's mind completely. That's why reading about the boar gullet was the thing that was a little disturbing, even when I saw it. But when I read it again the other day, it was, you know, it was the same idea. You know, you can go insane if somebody pushes hard enough, if somebody rifles hard enough and long enough. You can just lose all sense of where the memories go and what order they go in and what's new and what's not. And it hurts a lot of times. And I say that as someone, you know, obviously who knows both sides of it. So it was not something that was a. It was different. It was different. It was not a meant to be intimidating at the time, and it was not. You know, people talk about, you know, I can take whatever I want. I'd like to deny that line and say that didn't actually really happen, but, you know, I remember a very similar sentiment. So. She was not intimidated. I think she thinks she was. She was not. It was very obvious that she was not intimidated. So, it was not meant to be. I don't really want to say this because I really don't want to get into this controversy. But it was not meant to be a. It wasn't. It had nothing to do with the fact that she was a girl or not or this or that. It was, you know, she was unusual from the start. She was an anomaly from the start. That's definitely true. I think there's a couple more. When did you fall in love with her? When did you feel a romantic pull toward her? That's a little personal. Strangely enough, I answer all the rest of these And that one seems personal. You know, and I want to say that I really, you want to talk about legitimately falling in love, didn't happen until we were here. Because even here at first, there was a trust problem. There was a hostility issue. There was a, you hurt me and I hurt you, and neither of us know how we feel about the other one, because there is something between us. And there's a connection and a compassion and an empathy, but we're not at a point where either of us can be comfortable being a thing. And then it happened. It happened here, and it was one of those things. You know, so that's, you know, I think that from the first time I realized that she hadn't given up, I started to, you know, to feel like, do you have the matches or whatever? Sorry guys, hold on. Anyway, that things were different, because she was the only one who didn't transparently want something. She didn't want me to be Kylo Ren. She, you know, she may have had the knowledge of Ben Solo, but she didn't have the expectations that someone like, you know, someone who grew up with you would have. Expectations for you to behave a certain way, or expectations to, for you to, you know, to feel a certain way about things. And so I think that it was definitely, the seeds were planted, but it's definitely a thing. I actually might be on time this time. I'm a little over, but I think even adding on the question that I had was good. I think there are a couple more, but I can't seem to. Anyway, so I don't have to go back and add this in. You know, I did bring up the subject about myth versus reality and knowing people, so that's good. But I did say last night the Rogue One novel, where they talk about Mon Mothma being 15 and discovering smashball romance and her parents' imperfections. You know, that I never thought of Mon Mothma as a rebellious teenager, you know, and how fascinating that is to me, you know, and how I'd watch a whole story about, a whole movie about it, you know, because, because there's a whole, there's a lot there, and she's somebody that I admire very much. So, it's, you know, she denounced Palpatine and fled from the Senate. You know, she had a price on her head for 30 years. You know, and I don't have them. Oh, yes, I do.
And she's still living.
And she's still living, and she's still doing what she does. And she's constantly walking this line between, you know, what she can do and what she needs to do and what other people expect her to do. And it's sort of like, you know, we really need, it's like, I'm glad there's a Padme novel coming out, because we need more of those things. You know, I wish I could, I should pitch Mon Mothma, you know, novel to them and tell them I you know, would like to write it and see what happens. Like, maybe I could be one of those people who posts on Twitter that they dreamed their whole life of writing a canon Star Wars novel, and then they suddenly did, you know, because they grew up with the original trilogy and now they're old enough to, you know, be published authors, and maybe I should, you know, just give it a shot. But I'd rather see it in the hands of someone I know. Claudia Gray can write anything in the canon, and I will, like, follow it. Like, I will buy it the day it comes out. So, I mean, that would be something that I would really like to see happen. But, anyway, I think, I know there's other questions, but I can't find where they are.
Is this, like, one giant round of ramble?
No. Okay. This is my whole questions. I've answered all the questions. Cool. And I'm going to add, again, if you're still listening, I'm going to add in Kylo's answers to a couple of questions that were in first person, and they were very illustrative. So, I know there were more, and I can't find them. Like I said, if you guys have questions for me, for Kylo, for Rey, for, you know, yeah, for anybody about any of this, about living with it, about being with it, about the canon, about how we feel about fandom, I'm glad I bought Solo. We saw it in the theater, and I'll admit that the second time was way better. The Kessel Run sequence just still, it thrilled me. I loved it. It was it was one of those things, and it just, you know, Enfys Nest gets better every time, you know, I just...
Didn't they say that they based the idea of her in canon off of Arya Stark?
Oh, you know, I think I actually...
She kind of had that
I think
whole,
I actually read that, yeah.
She kind of had that whole thing going on, I mean, you could see it.
I would also watch Enfys Nest, the Star Wars story, but that's just me, you know, and I love saying Enfys Nest. It just makes me feel happy. I don't know why. But you know, I'm so tired, you guys. Like, I don't feel good.
We're both sick. You can tell from the sound of my
voice.
Yeah,
you sound like you've been screaming like obscenities at a stalled speeder for like 8 hours.
I wouldn't have wasted
that. Yeah, I don't. Thank you. All right. I think I'm trying to find a note to end this on because I can't find. I think that may be all the questions because I can't find any more. But, I was going to say, if you have questions, leave them for me. We started a podcast on Twitter called Galactic Gossip because that was the original title. And then I used iKylo because I've been talking about iCarly and the pun between iKylo, you know, as opposed to iPhone, whatever, plus I, comma, Kylo, which should be the you know, his memoir title. You know, the pun.
We might just call it iKylo.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's pretty much what I'm gonna do. It's short. It's to the point. You can remember it. It's easy to put in a Gmail address. So I may go through and make a different account, or I may just use my main Twitter account. If you guys have thoughts on that, again, send them to me. Also, I'm going to be uploading these to the different podcast sites. I have to go back and edit the first one. I wanted to put an intro and an outro in it. It's not really necessary, but I really sort of wanted to. So, and then upload that. And that will be going to things like Spotify and Apple Play and all these, or Apple Podcasts or whatever. So I'm going to do that in order. So when I do that, you know, you guys, I can add voice clips just even through here. So if you guys have questions or things that you want to call in, you know, send me a voice message and, I'll put it in, mail it to iKyloCast@gmail.com. And, we'll put in if you guys have thoughts or feelings you want to have broadcast, definitely add them and send them over to me. So I'm going to go through and add that, and it'll be a little shorter than it was last week. I might do a live video a little bit later because I feel like talking. I really do. I sort of feel like answering questions and things today. So, I may come out here in a little while after I charge my phone because apparently it's, getting ready to crap out. It's at 20%. Hooray. So anyway, I may do a live video on Twitter, but go ahead and I hope I remember the password for the iKylo email. I'm horrible at that. I used to have 25 passwords for different things, and I remembered them all, and now I can't remember, like, a week later. Anyway. So, thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys stay around long enough to, listen to this thing that I'm going to add on here, because it was really, really worth the time. And otherwise, we hope that you tune in again. I may do a live broadcast in a little while, once I go in and get a drink. And, you know, so you can tune into that, and I'll see if I can get the sleeping scavenger to, like, to help me on a live video so you guys can ask her questions and get me off the hot seat. All right.
If his dog ever stops barking.
Yeah, no, I know. He wants to be where we are. And then when he is where we are, he doesn't want to be where we are because he's spoiled like that. So tune in. I'm going to edit this, and then I'm going to upload it, and we'll see what happens. May the force be with you. All right. Difficult for Kylo to accept that Rey could accept him as he is versus accepting the dark inside of him. So, you know, wow, we're going right to the heart of this, right? I still don't think, to be honest, that he believes that she's... It's an awful thing to say about your relationship, but I don't think that even now he thinks that she accepts everything. I think he keeps trying to surprise her. Like, you know, this happened, and, you know, I was there when this thing happened, and he kind of gives her this side eye, like, you know, is this where her limit is for what she's willing to forgive? You know, and she continually surprises him. And when you expect to be told that you're awful and you're not, it changes something inside your head. Like, you're sort of on the wrong foot going, okay, but really, that sounds familiar now that I think about it. You're the good guy. Anyway, it's not that much of a thought by association. You know, but you start to feel the difference between what you thought you were and what they think you are. And that sort of whittles it down a little bit, I think, as time goes by. The edges cut less. And so you're less likely to challenge that limit because you don't feel you have to. Because as you go on, you start realizing that you maybe are not as bad as you think you are. In some ways, like small little ways, you know, that maybe you're not all irredeemable. And the more you realize that you're not lost forever, the more you want to act like someone who's not lost forever. You know, the little bit of praise or the little bit of not anger, which is the opposite side, but it's the same, it has the same effect. You know, oh, I made this horrible mistake. You know, I plugged the wrong voltage in on the dryer and it exploded. And you're waiting for the diatribe about how worthless you are. And they're like, oh, well, okay, well, shit. You know, that's okay. Did you burn yourself? And you're kind of standing there going, you're not mad. Like, you're not, like, that's not a thing, you know? And so it's this constant sort of back and forth of cause and effect, you know, like, I guess it's really true, you know, the more that people think that you're not a jerk, the more, you know, people have it backwards, I think. I think that everyone's pressure, not just from this perspective, is that, you know, you always have to stop being broken before everyone will accept you, you know, and what people don't understand, and people have been trying to say since the dawn of time, is that sometimes accepting the broken person smooths the edges down, and then, you know, they fit there. It's, you know, sometimes you have to take a chance on somebody, you know? And what?
Ta-da!
I don't know what the...
I learned something today.
Okay. All right, you know what? I actually kind of did. All right, so I just talked myself through that whole logic. I'm going to regret this later when I post this. Well, this is the better one, so, you know, I got to have some answer, right? This was actually an answer to a question, not just me, you know, fooling around. So that's the answer to that. You know, was it more difficult? You know, she's the most I said this 100 times. I see you shaking your head. Her superpower is compassion. I swear. There's no... It's not that there's not righteous anger there, you know, and it's not that there's not a really short fuse. As you can see, people are quite acclimated to the culture and slang here, by the way, in the case that was a question anyone ever had. You know, they do obviously sound like themselves, but we live in this world, okay? We talk to people on Twitter, you know, we call each other on the phone, you know, because we have to. That's, you know, that one more difference. I pointed this out in the last one where I was talking about differences that I've noticed between, you know, that and disordered behavior. And I always realized them sort of by accident with this sort of wonder. Like, yeah, I knew that a long time ago, but look, here's proof of this thing. And it's, you know, we don't, you know, run around and demand that we have, you know, vid screen, you know, calls every time. You know, we don't do, you know, we don't do that because we're aware of the reality in which we exist. So we have to use the tools that we have. And yeah, we pick up the, spend enough time on the internet and you're going to see enough memes that you don't ever have to, like, read anything again. Just, you know, follow the evolution of one, you know, where it starts, how many people pick it up, what kinds of people share it, you know, how it evolves into a different version, and then the next one comes in. So it's the same thing, I know. So, long story short, that was really actually long, but,
long story long.
That's got to be, I'm going to put that on my tombstone. You know, you know, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not an easy thing to realize, but it's interesting because, again, I talk about all the emotional work, you know, that I've done and that I've never before understood what it felt like. And it literally feels like I'm learning how to be a person, you know, and maybe I don't know. It's, most people don't change so dramatically when they're here. I mean, they do things that they're supposed to do, or they do what they're meant to do, or whatever, but there's never been an evolution that way. An entire sort of tactical shift in thinking, and maybe that's what's different about it. Said it breaks all the rules, and I wonder if that isn't why. Anyway, that's me going way off topic again. Does Kylo feel distance and time to himself is vital throughout the day, or does he feel better having Rey at his side constantly? You know, that it's funny because, you know, in the beginning, it was sort of a line of sight. I mean, the very beginning, right? Just as in, like, the first, you know, 5 minutes that they were here. It's funny how that evolved, too. And this is brings up to something I actually really wanted to talk about in this particular one, which is that I am not avowing or disavowing anything that happens in 9, you know. Because, like I said last week, our lives are separate from that timeline. Now, there have been, you know, cases of things evolving or people remembering things later or whatever, but generally speaking, the relationships that are formed now that they're here in this existence or whatever are the relationships that are going to endure no matter what happens in the canon. So that's sort of the fear that I've had is that, you know, I'll say, well, we remember X, Y, and Z a thing, and people go, oh, God, well, that didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about, you know. Rey's married to Poe, and they've got 6 kids, you know. That's fine, but that doesn't make our recollections any less valid, because we only remember up to a certain point. And then everything that happened to us from that time on happened here. So obviously we don't know what's going on, and I think bilocation sometimes is a way of seeing into that, but I don't want to get into it again. That was a long way of saying that. I didn't really actually finish answering it. He's a walker-offer a lot. So, like, if he's having an issue or he's in a mood or somebody asks him a question, doesn't like, he'll walk away, which might be an improvement. I don't know. But he'll walk away and, like, seethe until he can handle it, and then he'll come back in. And then if it happens again 5 minutes later, he'll walk away again, you know, unless somebody says, don't walk off, you know, blah, blah, depending on who it is. You know, so he's not a you know, he meditates, but, that really isn't reliant on whether or not she's around. Obviously, was just sort of an ease at that point. You know, there's something like a hinge undoing or something. It's the power is less angry. Does that make sense? The potential is less for violence and more for, you know, other pursuits. That not what I meant. That came out wrong. You know what I mean? Like, the difference between light side and dark side energy. You know, you can have the same amount of energy being different arrangements of, you know, alignment. So he needs time, but he doesn't ever want to be too far. You know, if I have to go somewhere and he's been out, you know, doing things, he gets really antsy the longer he's gone. There was, you know, the time I was in the hospital and she was at home. I was there for like 6 hours, and after like 4 hours, he started getting really restless, and he's messaging her, and he's like, you know, I'm blah, blah, you know, I'm still here, you know, just because he felt the need to reach out and sort of confirm. It goes back to the first point that I made. I think I made it. I'll have to go back and check the other recording. That he still doesn't quite believe it's a thing that's happening. You know, like it's a thing that is contingent on good behavior. I mean, it kind of is, because she's not going to take any shit. Like, forgive me for saying this, okay? She's not going to do the Padme thing and, you know, stay past the time when she should have gone and, you know, then tried to sort of absolve the damage of that music. That's not the right word. There would be no, it's sort of like the difference between, oh God, there's a cricket in our wall. You can hear it.
Is it picking up a nest?
I don't know. I think so though. But, thank you, because now my mind just went totally off the wall. Sorry. I'm really tired, you guys. It's been a rough week, which is something else I'd wanted to talk about. You know, I'd like to put a section in during the week of what I learned. You know,
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.